Have you ever been on downwind, abeam the numbers, and your instructor reaches over and pulls your throttle to idle? That sinking feeling in your stomach isn't just the airplane descending, it's the realization that you actually have to land this thing without any power, and you have to do it well. I'm Pattern, and this is Traffic Pattern on Radio Hangar. Today we're talking about the power-off 180 accuracy landing. It's one of the most commonly failed maneuvers on the private pilot check ride, and honestly, it's one of the most commonly avoided maneuvers during training. Students don't practice it enough, instructors sometimes save it for the last few lessons before the check ride, and then everyone acts surprised when it doesn't go well on test day. Let's fix that. Let's walk through this together so that when your designated pilot examiner pulls that throttle, you don't panic. You perform first. Let's talk about what this maneuver actually is and what the airman certification standards expect. You're on a normal downwind leg at traffic pattern altitude. The examiner will reduce your power to idle, simulating an engine failure. From that point, you need to plan and execute a turn to land on a specified point on the runway. The ACS says you need to touch down within 200 feet of that point, not 200 feet before, not 200 feet after, within 200 feet plus or minus, and you need to do it at a safe airspeed in a stabilized configuration without dragging it in low or diving at the runway. 200 feet sounds like a lot, right? That's about the distance from home plate to the outfield wall at a major league ballpark. But when you're up there, descending without power, trying to judge your altitude and distance, and turn radius and wind correction all at the same time, 200 feet can feel impossibly tight. Shout out to our friends at aviationsoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that? Private pilot, instrument, commercial? They've got you covered. Great way to mark the milestones that matter. aviationsoul.com. And if you're about to take your check ride, you're going to want that private pilot coin on your desk afterward. Trust me. Now, let's talk about the mistakes. The common ones, the ones I've seen over and over, and a few I made myself as a student. Mistake number one, freezing when the power comes out. This is the big one. You're flying along on downwind, maybe thinking about your next radio call, maybe sneaking a glance at the windsock, and suddenly the throttle is at idle and the engine goes quiet. And for about 3 seconds, your brain just stops. Those 3 seconds matter in a Cessna, 172 at typical pattern altitude. You're descending somewhere around 500 to 700 feet per minute at best glide. 3 seconds of indecision means you've lost maybe 35 feet of altitude and moved several hundred feet along the ground. You can't afford that. Here's something I wish someone told me when I was training. The moment the power comes out, you should have a checklist of 3 things you do immediately. Not eventually, immediately. Number one, pitch for best glide speed. In a 172, that's about 65 knots indicated. In a Cherokee 140, it's about 73. Know your number before you get in the airplane. Number two, identify your aiming point on the runway. And number three, start planning your turn. That's it. 3 things. Airspeed, aiming point, plan. Everything else can wait a few seconds, but those 3 things happen right now. Mistake number two, not trimming for best glide. Students pull back on the yoke to slow down. They hit the target airspeed, and then they hold it with their hands. For the entire approach, the airplane is trying to speed up because it wants to dive, and the student is fighting it the entire time, which means their attention is split between airspeed control and everything else they need to be doing. Trim the airplane. Get that airspeed nailed. Roll in the trim so the airplane holds it hands off or close to it, and now you've freed up mental bandwidth for the hard part, which is energy management. Mistake number three. And this is the one that fails the most check rides. Poor energy management. Here's what I mean. You're abeam the numbers, power is out, and you need to get from where you are now to a specific spot on the runway. You have a finite amount of energy. Altitude is energy. Airspeed is energy. You cannot add energy because the engine is at idle. You can only manage what you have and trade altitude for distance. The single biggest error I see is students who turn base too early. They get nervous about making the field, so they cut the downwind short, turn base while they're still high, and then they're screaming in on a steep final with way too much altitude and way too much airspeed, and they either float past the touchdown point or they have to slip aggressively or, worst case, they go around. Which, by the way, is always an option and always the right call if you're not stabilized. But on the check ride, a go-around on the power-off 180 is going to raise eyebrows. The opposite mistake happens too. Students who fly the downwind too long turn base too late and end up low and slow on final, trying to stretch the glide. Stretching the glide is one of the most dangerous things you can do in an airplane. When you pull back on the yoke to try to make the airplane go farther, you actually increase drag and decrease your glide distance. You end up shorter, not longer, and you're slower, which means you're closer to a stall. Low, slow, and close to the ground is where people get hurt. So how do you get it right? Let me give you a framework that works. When the power comes out, pitch for best glide and note your position relative to the runway. You should be abeam the touchdown point or close to it. Your first reference is the angle between you and the touchdown point. Look out the window, not at the instruments. The instruments confirm what your eyes are telling you, but your eyes are the primary tool here. As you fly the downwind, you're going to watch that touchdown point move in your window. If it stays fixed or moves forward, you're in good shape. If it starts sliding behind you, you're getting too far from the field. This is the same principle as the aim point trick for normal landings. If a point on the ground isn't moving in your windshield, that's where you're going to end up. Now here's the key decision point. When do you turn base? There's no single universal answer because it depends on the wind, your aircraft, your altitude, and the pattern you're flying. But here's a rule of thumb that works well in most training aircraft. After the power comes out, fly the downwind for roughly 5 to 10 seconds past to beam the numbers, then turn base. In a no-wind situation, this works surprisingly well. If you have a headwind on final, which means a tailwind on downwind, you'll be carried farther from the runway, so you might turn base a little earlier. If you have a tailwind on final, a headwind on downwind, the opposite. You might extend just a bit. But here's the real technique. Forget the clock, use the 45-degree line. When the touchdown point is roughly 45 degrees behind your wing, that's your base turn. Look over your shoulder. If you drew a line from your seat to the touchdown point, and that line is about 45 degrees behind your wing, turn base. This gives you a consistent geometry regardless of wind because you're basing it on your actual position relative to the field, not on time or distance which the wind affects. On base, this is where your energy management tools really matter. You have two primary tools, flaps and slipping. If you're high on base, add flaps. Most training aircraft allow at least one or two notches of flaps on base. This increases drag, steepens your descent, and slows you down. If you're really high, you can combine flaps with a forward slip. A forward slip is something every student learns, but few students practice enough. Cross controls. Aileron into the wind, opposite rudder to keep the nose straight. The airplane descends rapidly because the fuselage is turned sideways to the relative wind, creating enormous drag. It's an incredibly effective tool, and on the check ride, the examiner will be watching for whether you can use it when you need it. Practice slips, practice them until they feel natural. Because when you're high on a power-off approach and you need to lose altitude fast, a slip is your best friend. On the other hand, if you're low on base, hold off on additional flaps, keep it clean. You need every bit of glide performance the airplane can give you. You might even slightly adjust your base leg, making it a shorter base to tighten the pattern and get yourself closer to the runway. As you turn final, you should be looking at your aiming point. Is it rising in the windshield? You're going to land short. Is it sinking? You're going to overshoot. Is it staying fixed? You're on the money. On final, you make your last adjustments. If you need to steepen the approach, add flaps or slip. If you're right on glide path, maintain configuration. And here's a critical point. The ACS says you need to touch down at the proper airspeed. Not 10 knots fast, not 15 knots fast, the proper airspeed. For most training aircraft, that's about 1.3 times the stall speed in landing configuration. In a 172 with full flaps, you're looking at about 60 to 61 knots on short final. If you're screaming in at 75, you're going to float, and you're going to miss your point. Let me address something that a lot of students get wrong conceptually. This maneuver is not about being perfect on the first try from muscle memory. It's about managing a changing situation. The examiner is looking for decision-making, not autopilot precision. They want to see that when you're high, you do something about it. When you're low, you adjust. When the wind pushes you off your plan, you adapt. The pilot who makes three corrections on the way down and touches down on the mark is demonstrating better airmanship than the pilot who gets lucky with no corrections and happens to make it. Here's a practice technique that I love. On your next training flight, ask your instructor to set you up for this and do it 10 times. Fly the downwind, pull the power, and practice the approach. You don't even have to go to a full stop every time. Touch and go or go around at 100 feet above the runway if the pattern is clear and your instructor is comfortable with it. The point is repetition of the judgment part, the turn, the energy management, the final approach corrections. Do it 10 times in one lesson and you will feel the improvement. And another practice tip. Do it on different days in different wind conditions. A calm day is great for building the basics, but a 10-knot crosswind changes everything. A strong headwind on final changes your base to final geometry completely. You need to see how the maneuver feels in different conditions so that on check ride day, whatever the weather throws at you, you've been there before. One more thing. And this is important for the check ride specifically. The examiner may not announce this maneuver. They might just pull the throttle. On the private pilot practical test, the examiner can simulate an engine failure at any point during the flight that they deem safe and appropriate. So when you're in the pattern and the power comes to idle, don't ask what's happening. Just fly the airplane. Pitch for best glide, plan your approach, execute. That immediate, confident response is exactly what the examiner wants to see. It tells them that if your engine actually quits someday, you'll fly the airplane first and figure out the details second. The real purpose of this maneuver isn't to pass a test, it's to save your life. Engine failures happen. They're rare, but they happen. and when they happen in the pattern, close to the airport, you have the best possible outcome available to you. You're already near a runway, you already know the wind, you already have a plan. The Power Off 180 teaches you to execute that plan under pressure, and that is a skill worth mastering. This is the kind of maneuver where the investment pays off for your entire flying career. I sourced today's walkthrough from the FAA's Airplane Flying Handbook, the Private Pilot Airman Certification Standards, and a few hard-earned lessons from my own training days. More episodes and resources at RadioHanger.com. Go practice this one, and when your examiner pulls that power smile, you've been here before. I'm Pattern. See you in the pattern.